Good morning, everyone. Welcome to any visitors who are with us, and you're all invited for a cup of tea or coffee at the end of the service. You have the intimations before you. As you can see, things are beginning to pick up. I'd just like to highlight on Wednesday at exactly 6 o'clock, not 5, but Kelly McCrory's dance class has started up again. And I was chatting with her this week, and she was saying that her dancers were at the World Championships down in England. And they did very well. Taylor Young was 7th in the world. Chloe Morgan was 7th. Tia Rose Hare was 8th. And this is for lyrical dancing, which I had to ask, what is that? It's a fusion of ballet and modern dancing. So it was quite entertaining seeing them kicking their legs above their heads and things. I tried it at home once, years ago. On Saturday, Adelaide College is having a bric-a-brac sale, 11 o'clock this Saturday. No, I'll take that back. Saturday the 31st. Is that a fortnight away? Right, Saturday the 31st, 11 a.m. The deadline for the September Parish Record magazine is today. So please, if you've any items for the magazine, give them to Audrey here, our editor. And these are all the intimations. You may have noticed the picture of the deer on your orders of service and up on the screen earlier. As the deer pants for the water, so our souls long for God. Let us sing Mission Praise number 37, As the Deer Pants. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." Let us pray. Loving Lord God, We rejoice to come into your presence now, to praise and thank and worship you, to hear your word to us, to be together as your intimate family, to spend quality time together. You are our God. We are your people. You are our number one, the be-all and end-all, the Alpha and Omega, the first and last. We love you who first loved us. We live to please you and serve you. We rejoice to obey you and to serve you. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We love to be your disciples, your ambassadors, your missionaries, your human agents. We're never happier than when you and we work together as a team. It's an honor and privilege and joy to be able to do wee jobs for you, to be the boots on the ground for you. Merciful and gracious Lord God, forgive us when our zeal flags, when our good intentions litter our path through life, when the good that we would do, we do not, and the bad we would not do, we do, as St. Paul said. Forgive us for imperceptibly slipping into the tail wagging the dog as we try to get you to help us with our projects rather than offering ourselves in your service for your projects. We thank you for your grace and mercy, your patience and forgiveness. Almighty and enabling Lord God, fill us with your Spirit today. Inspire us in this worship service and enable us as we go out from here to go into a new week, the start of our rest of our lives. Help us to go forth in your name and in your service and for your glory. Let us live and work and witness for your glory. Let us be all that you want us to be. Let us be like cat's eyes in the road, reflecting your light, to help keep others on the straight and narrow road to heaven. Let us be like candles, shining their little flames in the small corners of life. Let us be the Bibles that other people read. Let us be your hands and feet and voice, the channels of your peace. Let us be the Good Samaritans. Help us to be the signposts pointing others to you. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, the school goes back this week, and the Sunday school starts again, I think, next week. But it's that time of year for all of us that we're seeing the back end of the summer holidays. Hopefully not of the summer weather. Still August, but we're thinking mentally a bit more about things picking up, soon be involved in our different organisations, and we get into our autumn and winter mentality. When we're thinking about the rhythms of life, and ending maybe one part of a cycle and going into another part of a cycle, how do you feel about it? Do you feel that it's a bad thing, we're losing the summer, and it's a dreaded thing, the winter will be coming, and the nights are getting longer, and all the rest? Or do you embrace the turn of the tide, the turn of the seasons? It's good to enjoy this, it's good to enjoy the next thing. I was thinking a lot this week about passion for life. That's why we sang as the deer pants. As you can think of a deer finding a water hole, that sort of zeal and enthusiasm. When kids go back to school this week, and the teachers too, is it going to be, oh no, here's school again? Or is it going to be, let me up and at it? My brain wants to be exercised. I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to know. The real champions in life, whether it's in knowledge and learning and scholarship, whether it's in sports, whatever area of life, they want one thing in common is that passion. As the deer pants, the desire. Just take sports, for example. Lewis Hamilton, Formula One, is quite successful these days. And just in a recent race, he burst a gut to get back onto pole position. Because that's his position, nobody else should be there, he thinks. And he burst a gut and overtook cars and he drove hundreds of miles to get there by 1/1000th of a second. 1/1000th of a second dividing the first and second car. In every area of life, it's small margins. And what makes the difference is probably that X factor, the passion. Real champions win. In cycling, for example, most of the top cyclists are about equal. And their bikes are about equal. So when they're on the flat, they're pretty equal. When they're going downhill, they're pretty equal. The chance that the champion has to get ahead of the pack is on the uphill sections. And isn't that life? It's on the uphill times when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Thinking of education, I remember a life-changing moment I had sitting at home on the couch with my mum and dad and sister. I was a wee boy, and we were watching Coronation Street, Ina Sharples, for example, wasn't it? And it just occurred to me in the middle of the program, I don't like this. Why am I watching it? I'm not watching it because I'm stalling from going upstairs to do my homework. What's my homework? History, my favorite subject. Well, why are you sitting watching Ina Sharples when you could be up doing a favorite subject? So I went upstairs and I never looked back. That was the start of education for real for me. When I went to university, I was studying away, just like everybody else. And then something happened again. It just clicked inside. And I started attending other people's classes as well as my own. I took subjects I wasn't taking. Instead of just learning to pass an exam, I just wanted to learn about everything. You can't make a pupil be like that, but if the teacher's good enough, she might inspire a wee bit of enthusiasm. It's the same as a minister with a congregation. Somewhere in the process, God has to do that X factor and just poke you and then change you in a moment. And then you never look back. Life's never the same again. So let me urge you to think about that in every area of your life. Jesus once said to a man, "Do you want to get well?" And I keep having this moment with people. Do you want to get well, or would you rather just have an organ recital and keep your problems so you can moan about them? There was one person who said they're lonely. So I said, "Do you want a friend?" And they thought for a moment and says, "No." Well, what can you say next? Jesus was always challenging people. Zacchaeus, you're doing quite well for yourself, I notice. You're quite a wealthy man. You're the chief tax collector. You're doing well. Your mum will be proud. Are you happy? Not really. Would you like to be? I think so. How about switching from being greedy to generous? Just try it. The paralyzed man. Jesus looks at the man lying there. What can I do for you? Would you like to walk? Go in then, get up. Remember, Kirsty sits here in a wheelchair. She just decided, stuff this for a lark, I'm going to walk. And now she does parachute jumping, abseiling, horse riding. Peter is wanting to come to Jesus over the water. And Jesus says, well, come on then. And he begins to sink, and then Jesus holds him up. And he walks on water with Jesus. He does the impossible. The disciples, hey guys, follow me. Drop your nets. Leave the other things. So whatever area of life you feel you're a bit paralyzed man, but you would like to walk on water, it can happen. It happens all the time, all kinds of people, all kinds of ways. And the experience can be for all of us. Jesus wants us to live, to have life in all its abundance. It just requires something X-factor-ish. But it's not just a miracle done by God to us. It requires us to say, yes, Lord, please, give me more. Let's sing from your sheets, Will You Come and Follow Me? Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from Psalm 42. Psalm 42. As a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, the living God. Where can I go and worship in your presence? Day and night I cry, and tears are my only food. All the time my enemies ask me, where is your God? My heart breaks when I remember the past, when I went with the crowds to the house of God and led them as they walked along, a happy crowd, singing and shouting praise to God. Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. And then Matthew chapter 13 at verse 44. Matthew 13 at verse 44. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man happens to find a treasure hidden in a field. He covers it up again and is so happy that he goes and sells everything he has, then goes back and buys that field. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is looking for fine pearls, and when he finds one that is unusually fine, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that pearl." And finally, from John chapter 5 at verse 1. After this, Jesus went to Jerusalem for a religious festival. Near the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there's a pool with five porches. In Hebrew, it's called Bethzatha. A large crowd of sick people were lying in the porches, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that the man had been ill for such a long time. So he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one here to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get in, someone else gets there first." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man got well. He picked up his mat and he started walking. Amen, and thanks be to God for these readings. Now let's sing together hymn 378, O Jesus King Most Wonderful.
Sweetness most divine.
In my northeast dialect, sometimes people will say, it's a sair fecht, or a sair chav. I'm chavin awa, plodding on, struggling on. St. Paul said, the good that I would do, I do not, and the evil I would not do, I do, again and again. Sometimes we feel like a supermarket trolley with a bent to going one way, into the side. We have good intentions, but they litter the path. Life is a moral struggle, as we try to be better than we've been, and we keep failing sometimes. St. Paul says, fight the good fight with all your might. We fight manfully, we aspire higher, but sometimes we fall flat. I love that story we've just been reading about the man at the pool of Bethesda in the King James Version, or Bethsaida in the Good News. The man's ill, and he's sitting at the pool side, because it's a rumour or a tradition that people, if they get into the water, after the water ripples mysteriously, because an angel's passed over it, the first one in, after the angel passes, gets healed. And he's sitting there in hope. There must be some truth in the rumour, because people wouldn't all be sitting there, or else they're all very desperate people, and even just a rumour's enough to give you hope. But I'm guessing that over the years, there will be people at that pool who testified, oh, I had this illness and that illness. I got into the water and I was made better. So anyway, he's sitting at the poolside for 38 years. It's hard to imagine. What a small existence. And then his hope would be to get into the water. But he can't get into the water because he can't move so quickly these days. And some folk have friends that help them, and he doesn't seem to have friends to help him. Isn't that a parable of life, that we feel a bit helpless and hopeless, and our friends are not always there when you need them? And you're waiting for something miraculous to happen, but you're not quite sure about it. And when you try and get into the water, well, if you tried getting a GP appointment these days, we struggle in life, trying our best, and we always seem to just miss out. My wife's got the migraine headaches, and everybody tells me about all the cures that some folk have had for migraine headaches, but it's always other people. And you get cutouts in the paper, and I'm pleased for them. It doesn't change our life. Always in life, other people seem to win the prizes. Other people are the great successes. I was hearing this week about another church. They've got more Bible study groups than we've got folk in our Bible study group. There are people who seem to know God personally and intimately. There are people who manage to stop bad habits and addictions, and so on and so on. But we're still at the poolside. And then along comes a stranger. And he stops and looks us between the eyes. And he says to us, do you want to get well? You feel for the man, because it's our story too. Of course I want to get better. What a silly question. I've been trying to get better all my life. And the question really hits home right to the foundations. We hesitate. There's a pregnant pause, a poignant moment. What's the man going to say back to Jesus? If he could go up and choke him, he might have choked him. What a stupid question to ask. And meanwhile, the crowd's now watching. And the angels and the demons. The communion of saints. Our family and friends. The ones living and the ones in glory. Jesus looks us in the eye. Do you want to get better? And you think about it. And the pressure's on in a split second to reply. You see, the man looked at Jesus and he got the distinct impression that he probably could make me better. There was no scientific reason to think that. But Jesus just stood there with some sort of authority. And you could see it in the eyes. So it became a real prospect for the first time in 38 years. This might actually happen. In that case, now do I want it to happen? An awful lot of things in life are next year, and then suddenly it's this year. Suddenly it's now. The decision has to be made. Someone told me this week that on the phone to their husband, the husband said, I've got two jobs lined up, one in Wick, one in Tom and Tool. Which one do I go for? And the money's running out of my phone. This was a while ago. And she had 20 seconds to decide. Anyway, when Jesus encounters us, and says, do you want to be made better, made whole, made well? And then we have to respond. It's a timeless moment. Doesn't have to be answered immediately. But one way or the other, that's the challenge Jesus always brings. And then you have to think about it. Do I? Do I really want to be any better? You see, for 38 years, he had lived there. This was his world now. He knew the guys around the pool, but he didn't know anybody else out with the poolside. If he got better, he wouldn't belong there anymore. He wouldn't be one of the sick. He'd have to go and start a new life, all over again, at his age and stage. The folk back where he used to be wouldn't be the same. The place wouldn't be. He'd have to go and get himself a house. He'd have to get a job, an income. Imagine asking a fetus, all things considered, would you like to be born? And when God comes to us offering healing, new life, his very self, victory in the moral struggles of life, we should jump at the chance, but we hesitate. Why? Because what's the catch? What's the price? We can have God personally. We can have all that comes with God, his wisdom, his love, every blessing. But do we really want anything different? Isn't it a bit scary, Jesus and me? Isn't it a bit difficult living alongside Jesus? Living next to perfect is quite hard wearing. Do we really want to be good, to be Christian, to be disciples? To be called Jesus people. Think about this in more depth. When we are hesitating, it's not only once in our life, it's many times in our life. When we are hesitating, what's going on really? We tend to like to sit on the fence. We don't like to be overcommitted over quickly. We like to have Christian faith, but we're not too sure where it might change our views and change our behaviours. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Well, we're Scottish. We don't hunger and thirst. We're more even-keeled than that. We pray more, "Lord, I love you totally with my whole heart." Well, if I'm honest, most of my heart. Actually, some of my heart. To be honest, with a little bit of my heart. I really do love you, generally, usually, most of the time, well, some of the time, from time to time. I'm scared to love you with my whole heart. I'm even scared to want to love you with my whole heart. Our next hymn we'll be singing is "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." It promises undiluted devotion. But a more interesting version I read in this book, "Life is for Everyone," it goes like this: "Take my life and let it be partly given, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my Sundays. I will give an hour of praise. Take my hands and let them move sometimes in response to love. Take my feet and let them be swift in action, all for me. Take my voice and let me sing every Sunday for my King. Take my lips that they may be filled with talk about me. All my silver and my gold, most of it I will withhold. Take my intellect for use in every way I should choose. Don't take my will, it is mine. I don't want to make it thine. And my heart, it is mine own. Lord, I keep it for my throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At weekly worship all its store. Take myself and I will be, maybe, sometimes, Lord, for thee." And Jesus looks at us and says, "Do you want to be made well?" And then in the silence we think of excuses. This book goes on to say, "People will think I'm mad. I don't want to be the odd one out. I don't want to be thought a fanatic. I'm good enough without Jesus. I'm as good as the next person. I've never done anyone any harm. I don't think I need religion. Nobody goes to church nowadays. It's not relevant to me. It's a lot of nonsense. It's old-fashioned. It's for middle-class hypocrites. It's for old people and children. It's not convenient right now. I can't make up my mind. It will cost too much. There's plenty of time. I'm too busy." And God said, "You fool." And Jesus looks at us, "Do you want to be made well?" And in the silence, we have inner conflicts. Peter Marshall was a wee boy in Coatbridge who grew up to be the chaplain to the White House in America. He wrote, "We want God and we don't want God. We want His way and we want our way. We want to be clean inside and still to do the things that make us unclean. We want to be Christians, but we don't want our friends to think that we're strange. We want to play on both sides. We want to be friends with everybody. Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. We've inner conflicts between our Christianity and our social circle. Christianity and our work pressures. Christianity and our neighbourhoods, the society standards. Christianity and our own ideas and ambitions." And Jesus still looks at us, "Do you want to be made well?" And we're still hesitating because we don't want to pay the price. Being put right with God may require spiritual surgery. It may require burning the bridges across which the temptations are coming. It may require a new beginning. It may require saying, like John the Baptist, I must decrease, he must increase. It may require saying, thy will be done, and a cross. We read the parable of the pearl of great price. The man that sold everything he had to buy this great special pearl for his collection. What's our pearl of great price? What would we sacrifice everything else for to have that one? The pearl of great price is God himself. To know him, to love him, be loved by him. People give up a lot to get married to someone in those terms. But they don't call it giving up a lot. They call it gain. We hesitate because, as Peter Marshall says again, we are too Christian really to enjoy sinning, but too fond of sinning to really enjoy Christianity. So don't be lukewarm, hot and cold. Don't sit on the fence hedging the bets. Jesus is looking. Jesus is asking, do you want to be made well? Do you want to know me better? Do you want to win in the moral struggles of life? Do you want to be my disciple? I want you. Do you want me? You really can be together with Jesus now and forever. He's willing. Will you marry him? Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the romance of discipleship. We thank you that you do love us, each of us, all of us together, millions of us, all the people in heaven and on earth, but also personally. So, Lord, in response to you, we answer with our time, our talents, and our money. And we say, yes, I do. I love you too. Amen. Let's sing together hymn 462, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in
This prayer is taken from Michel Quoist's Prayers of Life book. Let us pray. I am afraid of saying, "Yes, Lord, where will you take me?" I'm afraid of drawing the longer straw. I'm afraid of signing my name to an unread agreement. I'm afraid of the yes that entails other yeses. And yet, I am not at peace. You pursue me, Lord. You besiege me. I run after noise for fear of hearing you. But in a moment of silence, you slip through. I turn from the road, for I've caught sight of you. But at the end of the path, you are there awaiting me. Where shall I hide? I meet you everywhere. Is it then impossible to escape you? But I'm afraid to say, "Yes, Lord." I'm afraid of putting my hand in yours, for you hold on to it. I'm afraid of meeting your eyes, for you can win me. I'm afraid of your demands, for you're a jealous God. I'm hemmed in, and yet I hide. I'm captured, yet I struggle. And I fight, knowing that I'm defeated. For you are the stronger, Lord. You own the world, and you take it from me. When I stretch out my hand to catch hold of people and things, they vanish before me. It's no fun, Lord. I can't keep anything for myself. The flower I pick fades in my hands. My laugh freezes on my lips. The waltz I dance leaves me restless and uneasy. Everything seems empty. Everything seems hollow. You've made a desert around me. I am hungry and thirsty, and the whole world cannot satisfy me. And yet I loved you, Lord. What have I done to you? I worked for you. I gave myself for you. O great and terrible God, what more do you want? Child, I want more for you and for the world. Until now, you have planned your actions. But I've no need for them. You've asked for my approval. You've asked for my support. You've wanted to interest me in your work. But don't you see, child, that you were reversing the roles? I have watched you. I have seen your goodwill. And I want more than you now. You will no longer do your own works, but the will of your Father in heaven. Say yes, child. I need your yes, as I needed Mary's yes to come to earth. For it is I who must do your work. It is I who must live in your family. It is I who must be in your neighborhood and not you. For it's my look that penetrates, not yours. My words that carry weight, not yours. My life that transforms, not yours. Give all to me. Abandon all to me. I need your yes to be united with you and to come down to earth. I need your yes to continue saving the world. O Lord, I'm afraid of your demands, but who can resist you? That your kingdom may come and not mine. That your will may be done and not mine. So help me to say yes. And hear us as we bring to you today our particular prayers for those who are ill. We pray for Lydia Walker, Robert Howie, Sheila McClellan. We also pray for Dora Scott, John King and his wife Judy, Peggy Gilfillan, Harry Duff, and Irene Crozier. We pray for your comfort and peace upon those who are bereaved. And we think of our wider world. We think of Hong Kong with the 11th week of protests. We think of Afghanistan, where a bomb went off at a wedding yesterday, killing 60 people. On a happier note, we give thanks that in Sudan, the military and the protesters have signed a deal ending months of protests, and the future is looking a bit brighter. We pray for our own country, where a police constable going about his daily duty, Andrew Harper, was killed at the age of 28, having got married 4 weeks ago. And we think of all the police and all the dangers they face daily. We pray for our country with regards to Brexit, with all the wheeling and dealing that's going on behind the scenes. We pray for Kashmir, for Syria, and the Idlib province. And so many places in the world that are quietly under the radar, where people are suffering. And as a world, we think that 8 million tons of plastic every year goes as far as the Arctic ice now and the deepest parts of the oceans. And we pray for your church. In some places declining, in some places it's booming. In some places it's persecuted, in others it's in apathy. We pray for West Kilbride Parish Church and the Reverend James McNay. And we pray for our own congregation too. Amen. Amen. Let's sing in closing hymn 442, Fight the Good Fight. 442. May God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give you light to guide you, courage to support you, and love to unite you, now and evermore.